spring in your step and some life in your soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got two people with me tonight. Amen. The rest of you, hold on. Amen. How many, Pastor asked what he preached, how many knows what I preached last time I preached? And it's been a while. Any takers? Anybody? But I can't answer this because if you looked at my notes, you will know. Man. Special agent revival. Being a special agent for revival. Encounter doesn't count because I was teaching, not preaching. Remember that. But the last time I preached, that's what I preached. And I'm going to do a small continuation from that in the events that have happened in our church over the past, well, since January, I think it was January 23rd, was whenever I preached that, if I remember right, on my notes. And I'm going to preach, I'm going to give you my title, and then I'm going to exhort for a moment, and then we're going to get into the Word. But I want to talk to us tonight about flourishing in revival. Amen. I appreciate Brother Isaac and all of his design skills. Let's give Brother Isaac a hand. Amen. He is, I introduced him to someone the other day, and I introduced him to Isaac, and I said, I want you to meet my left hand. He's my left hand man. They said, well, who's your right hand man? I said, well, he's not here today. It's a long story. I'm not going to get into all the details. But he's working, amen, and he's doing a great job in the sound booth, and I appreciate all of his efforts, amen, and all of my critiquing. Praise the Lord. But for flourishing in revival, anybody here know what flourishing means? Anybody? All right, now, while your hands are up, now I'm going to ask this next question. How many knows what the Strong's Concordance says about the word flourishing? Anybody? All right, okay. All right. And so that's okay. That's good. So what does flourishing mean? I had Brother Matthew. Excelling? Doing very well. That is awesome. Some great definitions there. Flourishing means this. It means to be fresh, to be new, to be prosperous, to be green, to simply to flourish, to bring forth life. Now, I want to ask us a question, and I'm going somewhere. All of this will tie into my message. Does anybody remember? Oh, Sister Sarah, is it already time? Praise the Lord. That's an inside joke, too. How many remembers whenever I was talking about revival, what the word revival means? Anybody? Does anybody know what revive means? It brings something back to life. All right, so we're going to talk about flourishing in revival. So in order for us to say that we need revival, we have to first of all admit that we are what? That we are dead. Okay? So God has been moving in our church. Amen. I'm going to say it again. God has been moving in our church. He's been moving in our lives. Revival, we have started becoming agents of revival, realizing that we have a special assignment, a need, a desire for it. And every time we've had church, there has been widespread revival in different individuals' life. But what we've got to realize is we've got to move past the reviving state. We have got to begin to flourish in the reviving that God has given us and breathe back into our life. Now, let me tell you that God, whenever He saves us, in my text, we'll all stand for this. Now that Brother Jason's here, I'm going to start. Amen. My time starts now. John chapter number 10, verse number 9 through 11. Let's read this collectively if we can here tonight. Amen. John chapter number 9, starting in John chapter 10, starting in verse number 9. We'll read down through verse number 11. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly, flourishing. All right, number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth life for the sheep. Amen. I want to talk to us just for a little while here tonight on flourishing in revival. Once we have become alive again, once we have received that life, is what are we going to do with it? So you all can be seated here tonight. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. What is the one thing that we have learned through the entire pandemic? If someone goes on life support, the chances of them coming back off are what? Very slim. Why is that? It's because the lungs and the organs do not have to work as hard because there's a machine doing it for them. Let me tell you something. If we stay in a constant need of saying, I need revived. You know, they can only resuscitate you so many times before your chest, before your body is so broken that the only way you can survive is in a vegetable state for the remaining part of your life. So let me ask you this. Someone with a crushed rib cage and their lungs and their organs marred and damaged, what is the chance? I'm going to ask Brother Sheldon, what are the chances of someone coming back from that state and saying, well, I'm going to be a professional welder? It's not going to happen, is it? Brother Jason, if someone wants to go from that state to being a home builder, what are the chances of them being very successful at it? What's the chances, Brother Tate, of them getting on a motorcycle and going on a long ride without all of that machinery to keep them going? So what do we find? We need to be resuscitated, brought back to life, and then we need to begin to live in the life that God has given us. Amen. We need to begin to flourish. We need to begin to grow. We find that Christ says that He is the door. If any man come in, he will be saved. I want to tell you about three things, the main recipe in order to flourish in that reviving atmosphere that not only flourishes in it, but then begins to spring life into others. All right, first of all, we must be saved. Once we have confessed our sins, acknowledged that Jesus Christ went to the cross, died, and was risen again 3 days later, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, we've given our lives to Him. But let me tell you, giving your life to Christ is not enough. You now have two other obligations. Say, what are that? We are to come, and we are to praise Him. Let me give you a little illustration on what it means to praise the Lord. Lord, I thank You that You've given me food on the table. Lord, I thank You that I have new shoes on my feet. Lord, I thank You that the car that I drive is not broken down. Lord, I thank You that I'm able to come into Your house. What happens when we come into the house of God and we begin to praise Him for the benefits of which He's bestowed upon us? What happens is we begin to get excited because of all the things He's done for us. But then we switch gears and we go from praise and we enter into worship. Lord, I thank You though my shoes may not be new. Lord, I thank You my car might be barely getting down the road and I might want a new one, but I thank You for what I have. And what we begin to find, church, is whenever we've accepted Him as our Savior and we enter in and we praise His name and we begin to worship Him, that's when the curtains of heaven are rolled back and the presence of Almighty comes and settles into where we're at. And once we reach that point where the Jehovah God comes to where we are at and reaches down with the presence of the Holy Ghost, at that point, that's when we go to Him and say, Lord, I do have a need. I'm so thankful that you have come to where I am, and that scepter is outstretched. We are now lifted up into heavenly places, and we are to that point where our request can be heard and will be known. But we have to get past the point of just coming to church to give him a list. Hallelujah. What's the first thing we do? A lot of times when we come to church, for those times we come and we really have a need, the old pastor said we can come early and pray. And he also said that we can pray on it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take all my needs to the Lord. The first thing we do, follow me, Brother Isaac, is we get down. This is how we start. Because we still need revive. Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, you know I only have $10 to my name and the bill's $25.75. And Lord, you know how sick I've been feeling. And you know I need help in this area. And Lord, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. We give him a list of I need. You have a requirement. But we did not do anything to open up for his presence to come in. Listen to this preacher tonight. Is we've got to open up the doors of our sanctuary, of our heart. The Bible says, enter into his gates with what? And into his courts with what? So how many of us, you know what that looks like? Man, I wish I had the lapel on tonight. Brother Charles, please don't hate me. Amen. Whenever we come, still reading me, come through the church doors. Lord, I thank you that I'm able to be in your house. Lord, I'm glad that whenever I found out that I was, even though I was going to be close on time, I made it. And I'm glad that I'm in your house. And then all of a sudden we enter into his courts with thanksgiving because we're thankful that we made it. And then once we get into the pews, oh Lord, I praise you for your great benefits. Lord, it might not seem that I'm very thankful through the day that I've had, but I just want to take a moment and give you praise. And what begins to happen is we begin to prepare the room for him. And in the process of preparing the room for him, he fills the place. And when he fills the place, he cannot be contained. Why? Because we're so full of life. When we hit the door, the presence of God comes ushering out with us and through us everywhere we go. Psalms 92 and 5 says, O Lord, how great are thy works! How great! I love London whenever she would read it. Started learning the different. I'm terrible at English, so reflections. She would read, and when she would get to a certain point, she would say, wow. And that's it. It would just excite me. That's what the scripture says here. Oh Lord, how great are thy works! What has he done for you? If he did nothing else but save your soul, he's great. But guess what? He's done more than that. Not only is his promise to this generation, but every generation after me. So for that, I give him more praise. And thy thoughts are very deep. Where did they go? Amen. Verse number 10. Let's get down through here. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh. You know what this word here, fresh, means? Look it up. Look it up there in the Strong's. You know what it actually ties back to flourishing. To being green. To being prosperous in your spirit. I'm not saying your bank account's going to explode, but let me tell you something. If you are flourishing spiritually, when you walk into the job that you've had for 25 years, the boss is going to be like, they've got a new work ethic. We need to give you a mid-year evaluation, sir. You know that place that we don't have any full-time availabilities open? There's now one open. Why? I'm here to tell you because it's fresh. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn, and I shall be anointed. That word anointed is talking about the anointing of the king or the anointing of the prophet or priest. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that we are all, amen, because we are, amen, ushered in, amen, through Christ. We have been adopted in. We are now kings and priests unto God, and we are anointed with that flourishing gospel. Verse number 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Let me tell you, that does not mean because you sit in the seat. Those that are present in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse number 14. I actually preached a message on this verse. I'm not going to get into that. But they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Hey, I'm working on the fat part. Just saying. I got told today by one of my subs. Said, how much do you eat for lunch? I told him. And he said, I want to give you a challenge. He said, half of that for the next 6 weeks. Tell me how you feel. For lunch, like split my meals, everything in half. I looked at him, I scratched my head. I said, Saul, are you sure about that? You know what he said? Comes a point in time in every one of our lives where the enemy comes to us and says, you missed your opportunity, you passed the age of accepting the call of God. You wasn't. Now listen, this is a stigma in the movement in which we are surrounded by. I'm not going to say a part of, but surrounded by. What you did, you wasn't. You got to fight to flourish, because otherwise you will famish. You will be stuck in a famine. The devil wants three things. He wants to starve you or stunt your growth so that he can cause separation. What's happening in churches all across America? You have a whole older generation that's still in church, but they let the younger generation go cold. You didn't accept the call soon enough. So you've still got to prove yourself. I've heard it all my life. Friends of mine that have left the ministry because they were told. How old are you? No, you should have accepted it when you were 16. we've got to flourish. Go ahead and throw the title back up there, Brother Isaac. I'm fixing to wrap up, honey. Go ahead and get ready to come back to the piano. Amen. You gotta at least do it so you feel like you have power. There we go. He wants us to flourish. Once we've accepted, God has been moving. But after he moves, we go right back to the hospital bed because we never moved it out. We got off life support. Go back to the bed. Well, we have a kid. Brother Matthew, can you bring me my oxygen? Brother Tate, I want one of them nice Jellos from the cafeteria. Oh, Brother Don, could you by chance bring me a cup of water? The doctor's ingredients is for us to grow, not to revert back on our health. What is the one thing that happens when you go to the hospital and you have an injury or a problem? They look at the situation and they say, Brother Jason, I see you have a broken leg. We're going to put this thing in a cast. We're going to have you roll around on a cart for probably 3 weeks. But after 3 weeks, you're going to come back and that leg's going to be sore. And we're going to start physical therapy. And you know the one thing that you're going to want to do is drag that cart around. The one thing, and the medical industry's got it covered here. Oh, sir, ma'am, I see that you've had a problem. We're going to give you this. Used to, you only got it for so long. Sir, ma'am, we're going to give you this. Sign right here. Medicare, Medicaid, somebody's insurance is going to cover it. Because they don't want it back. Why? Because they want you to be dependent. The enemy of your soul wants you to be addicted to the reviving effect. Now, whenever you have an adrenaline rush, what happens? All of your senses are heightened. You feel great. You feel good. But you can't live in that state of adrenaline. Come back down. And you have to learn to live. But you look for that next what? Next rush. Let us be careful that we don't just simply say, well, I'm going to wait and flourish later. But instead, flourish now. Why flourish now, Brother Kennard? People that you pass food out to time, whenever they see your smile and you pass the box, they say, sir, where do you go to church? There's just something about you that I just can't figure out. Do they say, man, I never heard you sing like that. I never heard you shout like that. I never seen you in this form. Whenever someone had a problem today, praying with them, opening up, I had an accidental phone call, and I'm closing with the story if everyone was here. I go through my contact list daily, and I accidentally sometimes I open it up real fast and I hit a button. I called a friend of mine, and he was busy. It was already ringing, so I just was waiting to see if anybody picked up. Nobody picked up. I thought, well, it wasn't meant to be. A few moments later, he called me. we started carrying on a conversation. And before I knew it, Brother Jason, the Holy Ghost, I was parked in the bank parking lot. And the Holy Ghost came down in that van. Because I was excited about God's Word. What would happen here tonight if that when we left this place, when we walked into our homes, that we were flourishing instead of surviving? The one thing that give everyone that beats any kind of disease, they tell them, you're a survivor. You know, I come to tell you as Christians, we are not just a survivor. We are conquerors. Next time someone wants to label you as a survivor, you tell them, I'm not a survivor. I'm a conqueror. I'm not somebody that just walked through this with scars, but instead, I might have scars, but I got a trophy. I got something to prove. Devil said I couldn't do it, but let me tell you, I find in the Word of God that the devil is a liar. His only job is to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're facing any three of those things in your life, and you feel like it's keeping you from flourishing in life right now, I want to call you to this altar. Amen. Those that are willing to flourish. What do I find? That we've got to make our requests made known. I'm going to make this personal. If you want to flourish and not just survive in revival, I want you to come meet me in these altars. If you have a purpose. Listen, I know people that's been in the ministry for 30 plus years that still have to acknowledge, I need more than what I've ever had needed him before. Let's come. Let's all come tonight.